Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the July 24th edition of Speedway Digest, Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and tonight we will be discussing the Pirelli World Challenge, go-karts, as well as the Godfather of Soul. This week, our first guest is veteran driver Jack Baldwin. Jack Baldwin is a legend in American sports car racing. With a successful career that has spanned five decades and a long list of accomplishments, he has successfully competed in SCCA, IMSA, Trans Am, Grand Am, ALMS, HSR, NASCAR, IROC, and now competes in the Pirelli World Challenge. Winning five championships and 35 professional victories over 100 podium finishes, Jack's career highlights include winning one Daytona Rolex 24 race, two 12 hours of Sebring races, along with two invitations to compete in the prestigious International Race of Champions. Jack was the first driver in the modern era to complete every lap of every race in a complete championship season when he competed in Trans Am in 1992. Recently, Jack has been a top competitor in the PWC series, driving for GT Sport Racing, where he placed third in 2012 and second in 2013 in the championship point standings. Mr. Baldwin is a well-known competitor in all racing circuits, and we hope that he has a lot to comment tonight about all sorts of different racing. I have a ton of questions for him, and hopefully you do too. Before we get things started, I'd like to give a big shout-out to all my listeners, including my international listeners. I recently found out that I have some listeners in the UK, and I'm sure there's other people all over the world who are interested in motorsports, and I invite them to listen into this program and comment on it as they see fit on the page, as well as through my email at adamsinclair@att.net. You can also follow me on Twitter at FABORPLUMBS. This weekend, the world's attention will turn towards the sleepy town of Speedway, Indiana, as NASCAR, IMSA, and several other series pay their annual visit to the Brickyard. It's going to be a really busy weekend of racing, and we hope that it's a safe weekend. Last night, NASCAR took to the dirt track at Eldora for their second annual NASCAR truck race there. It was definitely an interesting event, and ended with with Darrell Wallace Jr., also known as Bubba Wallace, claiming victory at the facility in Ohio. Now, before we get things started, I'll give a moment to our sponsor.
Get ready to relive the greatest rivalry in drag racing history. It's Don the Snake Prudhomme versus Tom the Mongoose McEwen, facing off in the feature film Snake and Mongoose. The movie stars all your favorite cars from the 60s and 70s and includes some spectacular scenes using vintage footage from the old glory days. Get it now on DVD and Blu-ray or download directly to your electronic device. Available in stores, Redbox, at Amazon.com, or online at snakeandmongoosemovie.com/store.
The next few weeks will be an interesting time on Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I've got a wide variety of guests lined up, including next week's Tristan Nunez of Mazda Motorsports, who's competing this weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Tristan is one of the youngest competitors in professional racing at the age of 18. He just recently graduated high school and is going to college while he competes in his full-time racing career. I'm going to devote most of the show next week to Mr. Nunez and hope that he has a lot to discuss. He's an interesting character. He spearheads his own Don't Text and Drive campaign, which he's going to talk about a lot next week. He'll also be competing in September in a celebrity horse race, which I hope to bring up a little bit, because it's not every day you end up with a professional race car driver who competes in the original horsepower events. While we're standing by for a first caller, I'll bring you up to date on the tomorrow's television schedule for Indianapolis. At 8:30 a.m., the nationwide series will be taking the track for practice. It'll be on broadcast on Fox Sports 1. And 10:30, they'll be on track for the second practice, the NASCAR nationwide series, and it will also be broadcast on Fox Sports 1. At 11:30, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series will take to the track for practice. That will also be broadcast on Fox Sports 1. It's kind of surprising that Fox Sports is doing all that promotion, because lately it seems like they've been moving away from their racing coverage, but it is Indianapolis. It is one of the biggest races of the year. So, when I went to Daytona for the Coke Zero 400, which was an interesting event because of the rain delay and all that, I was surprised that there wasn't as much of a that Fox Sports didn't have as much of a presence there at the track. Remember, in the past, they've had the huge speed television booth. They've also had the Fox Sports broadcasting booth is up there. But now it appears like Fox Sports has moved most of their operation to Charlotte, and they're running it almost like they do their Formula One, where the announcers aren't even at the track. They're actually just sitting there watching pretty much the same feed that we were watching on television and commenting on it. There is something to be said for that, I suppose. It takes away the personal connection that the announcers have with the people at the track. I know Kenny Wallace, when he was more involved with speed, and he had a very good connection with all the fans at the facility. But apparently ratings, money, and just a change in the dynamic there at Fox has led to some changes in their racing coverage. There will be a few paint scheme changes there in Indianapolis for the NASCAR race this weekend. Jimmy Johnson will be back in his black and white Cobalt Tools Chevy SS. Which would be interesting. Johnson was he did a very good presentation in Daytona a few weeks ago, where he answered a bunch of little kids' questions. Some of the questions were very well thought out, others were not quite as much so. But everybody had a really good time, and it was it's a great thing that Johnson tries to get involved with the fans of the sport in that way. David Stremme will be driving a car sponsored by Thunder Coal at the Brickyard 400 this next weekend. That will be an interesting thing to be seen. Stremme has had some ups and downs in his career, definitely. And it's kind of a shame, because he used to have his own team. He had driven for Penske in the past. He's driven for Ganassi. And he's always been a really good guy, he said, but he's never really found his niche in NASCAR. And hopefully he finds it soon. In the rumor mill this week, Penske might be heading to Australia to race in the Australian V8 supercars, which would be an interesting thing. Penske is generally thought of as one of the main players in all of motorsports. And V8 supercars are a big deal. There's even some talk of expansion of the V8 supercar series to the United States. They've done a race there at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin. There's even some talk they might bring Marcus Ambrose with him to back to the V8 supercars. Because Ambrose has had some ups and downs in his career. And he's never really fit in well within NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. But he is a great driver, And given the right equipment, I'm sure he'd be very successful. Next month, GoBowling.com 400 at the Pocono Raceway from August 1st through 3rd. Richard Petty has been named as the Grand Marshal. The GoBowling 400 will mark the 40th anniversary of Pocono's inaugural NASCAR Sprint Cup race, which was won by Petty on August 4th, 1974. Additionally, GoBowling.com will host a promotion where one lucky fan could win $43,000 if the number 43 GoBowling.com Richard Petty Motorsports entry, driven by Eric Almirola, wins the 400-miler at the Tricky Triangle on Sunday, August 3rd. Earlier today, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his IndyCar friend, Graham Rahal, visited the Indian Army National Guard. Dale Earnhardt, who's in Indiana to compete in this weekend's Brickyard 400 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, shared in the reenlistment ceremony of half a dozen soldiers. Earnhardt and Rahal didn't just meet soldiers, they got to engage with them. Both of them got to fire the howitzer on range 43, ignite ditch creating C4 artillery at range 44, and shoot an M4 rifle on range 12. They even rode in a Blackhawk. That must have been something to see. I know there was talk earlier in the year of Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Graham Rahal switching rides and doing one of those sort of things where you go back and forth and they see which one, how each other cars perform. But apparently there was some issues with that because Dale Earnhardt drives in a Chevy and Graham Rahal drives in an opposing manufacturer. But it looks like they figured out a way to at least hang out together. Well, we have a few minutes before our first caller calls. If anybody would like to call in and comment about the racing from last night or the upcoming races this weekend, please call in at area code 215-383-3681. Hopefully it should only be a few minutes before our first caller calls in, but I do have time to take your comments now. This weekend, Bobby Labonte will be joining Tommy Baldwin Racing for the Brickyard 400. The 2000 NASCAR Sprint Cup champion will join the team at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Crown Royal presents the John Wayne Walding 400. Labonte will be piloting the number 37 Chevy, sponsored by XL Construction. XL Construction has been the partner of Tommy Baldwin Racing since 2009, and acts as primary sponsor on the number 7 of Michael Annette for 6 races throughout the year. According to Labonte, Jeff Gordon and him are the only active drivers to run all the races in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. All the NASCAR races. And he's glad to continue that quest with Tommy Baldwin Racing. This will be Labonte's third Cup start of 2013. He ran the Daytona 500 in the number 52 H. Scott Motorsport Chevy, and again Daytona in July, running in the number 33 Thundercoal Chevy for Circle Sport Motorsports, the one that Stremme will be in this coming weekend. I'm sure that the in a different, slightly different news, I'm sure that the jet dryer drivers will be a little bit afraid this weekend as Juan Pablo Montoya will be returning to Cup action in Indianapolis. No driver in the field on Sunday can match the diverse history of Juan Pablo Montoya at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. In his illustrious career, the Columbia-born driver has made 7 career NASCAR Sprint Cup starts, 5 Formula One starts, 3 IndyCar starts, and 1 start in the Rolex Sports Car Series at the famed circuit. He is also a 2000 Indianapolis 500 champion. Over the course of his NASCAR career, Montoya has led 203 laps and earned a pair of top 10 finishes at Indianapolis. This weekend's Breakout 400 will mark the first race for Montoya in the number 12 Penske Truck Rattle colors and his second Cup Series start for Penske this season. Penske Truck Rental is operating unit of Penske Truck Leasing and has approximately 2,000 consumer truck rental locations across the United States and Canada, where he rents commercial semi-trucks, straight trucks, and trailers to businesses that haul freight. In other related NASCAR news, the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder has recently been in talks with none other than front row Joe Nemechek to be on the program at some point in the future. Nemechek has had a long and illustrious career in NASCAR, and now his son John Hunter is taking over his father's, is following in his father's footsteps. So it could be an interesting discussion to be sure, and I'm hoping that that Nemechek will take me up on it. Once he's agreed to the date, I'll be sure to let you know. Coming up next month, in August 14th, we're going to have author M.K. Ducote, who's written a book about the life of sports car drivers and their wives and girlfriends. It's an amazing novel, and it's going to turn into a series of novels. She's currently working on the second one. There's probably a third one in the works as well. So I invite sports car fans and also fans of romance novels to tune in for that one, because my wife thoroughly enjoyed the book, and she was unhappy at the ending. But when she's unhappy at the ending, that means she's ready for the second book to come out. As our first guest hasn't called in yet, we're going to make a small scheduling change and introduce our next guest, Dustin Bloom, to the program. Bloom is from Iowa and works as a chemical applicator for a liquid fertilizer company. He lived in the Quad Cities on the Iowa side since he moved from Bristol, Tennessee when he was 14 years of age. He still makes a trip to Bristol for all the races every year. Bloom has raced go-karts since he was 10 years old, starting on dirt, and then switched to sprint track road courses when he moved to Iowa. He once traveled all over the Midwest to compete, but now the race is about one race a year, the Rock Island Grand Prix in Rock Island, Illinois. Mr. Bloom will be on the program in a few moments. Until then, let's go ahead and hear from the Snake and Mongoose movie once again.
Get ready to relive the greatest rivalry in drag racing history. It's Don the Snake Prudhomme versus Tom the Mongoose McEwen, facing off in the feature film Snake and Mongoose. The movie stars all your favorite cars from the 60s and 70s and includes some spectacular scenes using vintage footage from the old glory days. Get it now on DVD and Blu-ray or download directly to your electronic device. Available in stores, Redbox, at Amazon.com, or online at snakeandmongoosemovie.com/store.
Hey, and welcome back to the Thursday Night Thunder with Adam, Jason, Sinclair. We are standing by for our first guest to call in. But while we're waiting, we'll keep discussing the motorsports news of the week. Extreme Speed Motorsports qualified for the pole and for first and second place in this weekend's running of the Tudor United Sports Car Race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I know a lot of the local Floridians are big fans of the Stewart-based team. So we wish them luck over the weekend. I'm also currently in talks to have one of the former members of Extreme Speed Motorsports on the program. So it might be interesting. Right now, I'd like to welcome Mr. Dustin Bloom to Thursday Night Thunder.
How you doing, Adam?
Pretty good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First off, how'd you enter the world of go-kart racing?
Oh, just always had an interest in racing when I was a young kid, like any kid. There wasn't not really a background of racing in my family, and we looked into it and found there was a go-kart track down in East Tennessee, and went from there, got a go-kart, and the rest is history.
How successful have you been in go-karts?
Oh, we've won quite a few feature races at local tracks and one track championship, so it hadn't been too bad to us.
What's your favorite race car track?
I like, it's actually a big street race. It's called the Rock Island Grand Prix here in Rock Island, Illinois. They closed down the streets downtown for a weekend and have a big go-kart race. Drivers come from all over the world, really, and it's fun to go down there and compete.
Do you feel that go-karts are an important step to success in all forms of motorsports?
Oh, absolutely. You can race dirt tracks and go-karts or sprint tracks or ovals, and it's a great stepping stone to catapult your career, whatever path you want to take.
Who's your favorite race car driver? Who's your favorite driver in, your favorite driver in go-karting first, aside from yourself, and who's your favorite race car driver in general?
Oh, there's a lot of good drivers in go-karts. Gary Lawson, he's from Ohio. He runs pretty good at Rock Island. It's fun to try to beat him. He's the all-time wins leader at that track. And I like to watch NASCAR, and I cheer for Kyle Larson.
That's awesome. How do you feel about the fact that the NASCAR has gone back to at least running the one dirt track a year, and do you think that they should actually expand that to other dirt tracks as well?
Oh, I think one a year is enough. It's something unique to look forward to every year, and I think it's awesome that they did that, that they've been doing that at Eldora, and last night's race was awesome. It was really fun to watch.
What's your favorite form of motorsports aside from go-karts?
Oh, I like to go to the local dirt tracks here, watch dirt late models. I'm actually at the track right now, getting ready to go in and watch races up here at a county fair. But I do enjoy watching NASCAR and IndyCar and Formula One as well.
Who's your favorite Formula One driver?
I like to cheer for Lewis Hamilton.
I don't think you get much argument there. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program, and I wish you lots of luck and have fun at the races tonight.
I will do. Thanks for having me. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Thank you very much.
Yep, have a good one.
Yep. That was Dustin Bloom, go-kart driver, going to be competing at the Rock Island Grand Prix in Rock Island, Illinois. We're now standing by for a second caller. Unfortunately, we had a caller on hold, and the call dropped. But we're standing by for a second caller of the evening. Our second caller is Darryl Brown, the author of the book Inside the Godfather. Should be an interesting discussion. There's a movie about James Brown coming out in a few, I think it's the 1st of August, that's been discussed widely, and Mr. Brown wanted to come on the program and basically set the record straight before the movie comes out. I'll go ahead and read off the information about Mr. Brown. He's the Inside the Godfather is a history-changing book about drugs, sex, lies, adultery, racism, murder, religion, politics, deceit, lust, and bribery. But most importantly, we'll set the record straight about James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, may be the most misunderstood man in the last century, and his contributions toward modern music pale in comparison to the role he played in modern history. Brown lifted all races towards the ideals of equality and opportunity. Tragically, while he had the ability to calm the storms of social turmoil, his personal life was a perpetual tempest, sex, drugs, rhythm, and blues. Inside the Godfather brings together for the first time Brown's inner circle. They will correct the distortions of the past and provide the reader with a clear understanding of the brilliance and generosity that was James Brown. This book will help you question your assumptions about politics, religion, sports, money, and the entire entertainment industry. You will see inside the man, and you will never be the same. 200 years from now, when they mention James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, they will use this book to understand the person, the mind, the genius of one of the greatest entertainers of all time. That's definitely a large statement about the book, and Mr. Brown, James Brown, was definitely a man who was larger than life. The book will be available on Amazon. And Darryl Brown will be doing a nationwide book signing tour. So you'll be able to find him in your he might even show up at your local bookstore. You can check on the Waldorf Press webpage for details. Once again, we'd like to welcome Darryl Brown to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there.
First off, I'd like to ask you why you decided to write the book.
Well, it was a long time I've been pondering this book, because I knew if you had to, you know, if you're going to tell the truth, you had to tell the good with the bad. And when I realized that his life itself can be a great testimony for other people, that's when I decided to start writing the book, and that was in 2011.
Okay. What's your favorite memory of your father?
Favorite memories? Man, all of them. I mean, even when I was a little boy, one of the favorite memories of mine is when we had 4 days off in San Francisco. And what happened was he was around, you know, Uncle Henry and Uncle Danny Ray and all that. And he was kind of, you know, showing off a little bit. So he told me, he said, you know, if you get a girlfriend now or something, go get you another room. Don't do anything in front of your Uncle Danny. So I said, okay, especially Danny Ray is the cape man. So I guess he thought I wasn't going to do it. But anyway, after 4 days, the morning we were getting ready to check out, my Uncle Henry Stallings went downstairs, and, you know, he does the billing and everything and pay for everything. So we get out, and we go to the airport, and we get ready to get on the – matter of fact, we was on the plane. And we got on the plane, and he was showing him, gave him all the, you know, what bills he had. And see, he knows how many rooms he's got. You know, he know how much he has to pay out. So he looked on, and he seen this extra room. He said, well, who had this extra room? And my Uncle Henry said, Darryl, you know. He said, you told him to do it. And at the time, that's when the fan club was following us around. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liked this girl. So I got another room. And it took him about 2 minutes. He was, like, I'm sitting right behind him on the plane, and his seat is right, you know, right in front of me. So it took him a few minutes to think about that, because he said do it. You know, Uncle Henry said, hey, you told him to do it. He did. So he turned around and he said to me, you know what your problem is? You like too many women. I said, oh, wow. Woo, because I thought I was going to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, but, I mean, coming out of his mouth, as many women as he had, I'm like, man,
yeah.
Is that a compliment or, you know, is that a warning or something? But that's one of my favorite memories. One of my favorite memories, man. Because I just knew I was in, you know, I was in for it. I knew it.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe James Brown?
How would I describe him? Complex. Very so misunderstood. You know, to understand James Brown in a way, you know, you have to look back on his earlier years from the child up. And that's a good way you can actually, you know, figure out why he was like he was. You know, you would have to go all the way back there to his childhood when they were poor. I mean, you know, you say zero poor. They were past that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think maybe he might have had one pair of shoes, if that. And, you know, he made underwear out of croaker sacks. So, you know, that's poor. That's really piss poor. You know, and he stayed in a shanty shack, which had one with the cinder blocks. And it had 1, 2, 3, 4 cinder blocks on each corner of the house. And then you had what you call a fire, you know, you had a fireplace to keep warm. But they actually slept on the floor, you know, with dirt floor, actually. So that was very poor. But to understand him, you have to go all the way back there. You know, he was stillborn, meaning he was born dead.
Yeah.
And they say hours about. I figured out probably maybe an hour. At the most, I mean, because I just can't see hours going by. But yet, there was something divine about that. So, grandfather was outside pacing the floor. He was pacing outside. He's all upset. They call my aunt. They get in touch with my aunt Minnie. Sent her a message. She's come. I think Aunt Minnie lived maybe about a mile away, and she goes straight to my grandfather's and my grandmother's home, and she. She actually, you know how you do muscle mouth resuscitation? I don't even know if they even knew anything about that then. And she breathed a breath of her breath in his mouth, and bam, he sparked and started crying. So something happened then, man. Something was divine about that. So, like I said, to understand it, you have to go all the way back there.
What revelations about his life do you describe in the book that that the average person wouldn't really know?
You know, like I said, that was one of them. You know, that was one of them. Another incident was that he, when he went to prison, and he was about 16 years old, and he went to prison, and he was staying in Aunt Honey's house, right? And Glenn, I call him Uncle Glenn, that was her grandson. So they were always together in the house on 944 Twig Street. And he got caught, you know, and it took them 2 years to catch him. I think he went to prison because they was tired of trying to run after him. Because it took them a long, I mean, he was fast. It took them a long time to catch him. So they finally catch him. But my grandfather maybe went to see him one time. That's it. Out of the whole many years. He was there for, I think, for about 8 years. But, you know, he went to see my father once. And, you know, Uncle Glenn, who also they called him Junior, they called my father Junior, too. And he went. He's always take chewing gum to him because he always wanted some chewing gum. And just as he was to leave one day, he said, Junior, you know, they call him Little Junior, he said, when I get out of here, the whole world's going to know about me. And this, you know, James Brown, you know, became James Brown, you know. I always said there was two people, you know, there was James Joseph Brown, which was my dad, and there was James Brown, who was a genius in music, business, everything you can possibly think of. His teacher used to always say that my father was something special because he only went to the seventh grade. She said he would come, whenever he'd come to school maybe once or twice because he didn't have clothes away to school, but when he would come for the test, and when he come and get ready to take the test, he pass it. You see? So, I mean, those type of things. And then, you know, when he was born, you know, he was what they call a veil over your eyes. And that's some kind of psychic ability you have. When it's, you know, when you're born with a veil over your eyes, you know, you're a psychic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which current artist, if any, do you think your father would enjoy listening to?
I'll say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Which current artist, if any, do you think your father would enjoy?
Today?
Yeah.
I say Chris Brown.
Okay.
You know, Chris Brown is, I mean, he did a super job of dancing. I mean, the mashed potatoes that only other person can do anything like that would be Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But today it would be Chris Brown. That's who I would pick because he did a great job. I mean, every move that he did when he was on the Tammy show, and I think that was shown one time on either the Grammys or one of those, and they were doing a tribute to my father, and he was doing that same. I mean, you couldn't tell the difference between the film and him.
That's pretty cool. What do you think James Brown would think about the fact that we currently have a person of color in the White House?
You know, with him being so politically active and everything, I don't think it would have made a difference to him. He just, you know, what would have made a difference is that if it was a good, you know, he's for the good. That would have made a difference. It didn't matter what color he was, as long as he was for the good of the people. You know, because you know the way government is now. Government is government, and people are people. So we're separated in a sense. They don't necessarily speak for us.
No. Yeah. Well, I don't think the government really knows who they're speaking for now. They don't have any clue as to what's going on. They don't. They're just bickering with each other.
That's it. I think they have their own agenda. You know.
Have you seen the movie that the Get On Up movie?
No,
that's going to be coming out soon.
I haven't had time. You know, I've been promoting this book since, matter of fact, it started started really before that, but Monday was the first day I started promoting the book. Mm-hmm. And I did USA Today week before last. And, you know, I mean, I've just been, since I agreed to the offer, I've been wailing. I haven't even had a chance to even see anything. But I think my daughter and them are going to the premiere tonight, so maybe they'll tell me how it is.
Yeah. Did they consult you at all during the, as they were playing the movie together?
No.
No.
They, you know, but that's Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I wish them the best. I mean, I was shocked because if anybody should have got Danny Ray, the Cake Man. He's been with my father since 1960.
Hmm.
He should have been a consultant.
Yeah.
Most definitely, you know. So I don't know what was on their mind, but right there I was kind of turned off.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And especially, you know, and people that were closer to him. I mean, his in crowd, you know, that's, you know, how could you do that? How could you actually do a movie? But that's Hollywood.
Yep. Doesn't necessarily have to make sense as long as it makes money. I think that's their
I always, I kind of thought they created like a fictional character. Like Superman, you know. You know, you know how you see some of these movies and you know it's James Brown they're playing, but they call him James Stone. You know, so hey, what it is, what it is.
That's it. Well, where's going to be your next stop for the book signing tour?
Listen, we're going to Atlanta. We'll be in Atlanta on Monday. I'm doing. I have to get this out. Look at this every time, because, boy, it's a lot. But I think we're going to be on Fox in Atlanta, Fox TV, and we do CNN Espanol.
Okay.
So that's and that's actually the beginning of the tour, actually. That's really where we start traveling. And I'm telling you, man, I am all over the place. I do WSB Radio Syndicate in Atlanta, Georgia, so I'm all over the place. I mean, I don't even think we just probably just get a chance to stop and take a shower. So many, you know.
How many cities
are
you going to?
Across the country, and coming back, you know, like the northern northwest, all the way across the country, northeast, all the areas, and then going to California. We'll be there for about a week, and then we come right back across the country again. So I got my work cut out for me.
Sounds like it. Where is the book going to be available? In every bookstore or
the book
online?
Is available
or both,
now.
Or?
Oh, yeah, every bookstore. And if it's not, is it on your local bookstore? Ask them to stock it. But, you know, you can actually get the book now. You can order the book right now.
Okay. Cool.
You can order the book at WaldorfPublishing.com, InsideTheGodfather.com, MyFatherTheGodfather.com. It's the same book. Amazon.com. I mean, we're all over the place. You can also chat with us on Twitter, Godfather Book and Waldorf Press. And for those that have iPads or like to download it and read on iPads, we got Kindle Nook and iBook. So I'm all over the place.
Awesome.
I am.
Well, wish you lots of luck with the
everywhere.
Tour. Wish you lots of luck with the tour and good luck with the book, and hopefully it sets the record straight about your father and his exploits.
That's right. That's right. That's what I hope. And I hope it helps somebody. You know, I hope it's a great testimony for somebody to excel.
Cool. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks again, okay?
Yeah, no problem. All right.
Yes, sir.
Again, that was Mr. Darryl Brown, the author of Inside the Godfather. He's going to be on a whirlwind tour promoting the book. He answered quite a few questions about his father that I was interested in, and it will be an eye-opening read, to be sure. Once again, I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Darryl Bloom. Mr. Dustin Bloom and Mr. Darryl Brown. And we look forward to hearing from you again next week as we find out a little bit more about the world of motorsports, entertainment, and more here on Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. Good night.